Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Excited today about this message. I'm going to do it in two parts like I did the previous two lessons. I want to save time and just do what I can today and pick up on next week, Lord willing. Our topic has been navigate how to successfully journey through life and these times. This is part 10. It's been a journey, y'all, part 10. And we're talking about navigating personally, financially, relationally, socially, and systemically. We've covered a lot of those areas. Today, I want to focus on this topic, subtopic, the pull of value and priority. Say the pull of value and priority. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it, in prayer, it came to me that navigation in all these areas, really at its core and root, is based in what we value. What are our quote unquote values? What are our priorities? And so that I want to ask God to help us examine value. What is value? What are values? And how are we being shaped? How is our behavior and thinking being shaped by our values and priorities? Now, it may seem obvious. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I know what I value. I know. Yeah, I think we know. But a tree is known by its fruit. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Amen. We all have good intentions. See, I have. Good intentions. It's just that what we actually do is sometimes different than what the intention is. Right. So let's look at this today and be encouraged today in God's Word. Now, we've been saying this for the whole series. Now, the word navigation is, we know it's from, we navigate using a physical compass back in the day. A compass points north. If you know where north is, you can find east, west, and south. Is that right? Now we have GPS, and we have satellites in space, in orbit, that give us fixed coordinates to our devices. And so it's like a compass, except it's all digital now, electronic. But the thing is, every type of instrument, whether it's a compass or a device like a GPS device, it needs fixed coordinates. It cannot tell you where you are unless it knows what is fixed and what it can measure from. And I want to suggest to us that we also have in life fixed coordinates. We can navigate based on these three, beginning with, first of all, is Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus is a fixed coordinate. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, to me, that sounds like a fixed coordinate to me. He's the same, all right? And then second is the Word of God, the Bible. Now, people question the Bible. People who haven't read the Bible want to question the Bible. I've read it. I've studied. You know, I've done theology training. I know what the Bible, I know what it says. And I tell you, it's a fixed coordinate. The scriptures, the truth contained therein, I've built a whole life on it. Amen. Since I was a believer in Christ. And my parents before me, my grandparents, they all based their lives on the Bible and the Word of God. And we all came out really good. Amen. We came out just fine. And for the part of my life where I rejected the Bible, that's a bad part of my life. That's a messed up chapter where I didn't regard Jesus or God's Word as a fixed coordinate. Third is objective truth. And we talked on that extensively. Basically, there are things in life that are true. Objective means it's outside of you. Jovi said amen. Jovi said amen. Y'all say amen too, okay? She's good. And so, but now subjective is what you feel about it. Now, we're in a world where folk just feel things. I feel like God is like this. I feel like the vaccines are like this. I feel like the virus is not really real. It's just it's a conspiracy and all this kind of. But listen, but objective is outside of you. Outside of you, objective truth is established truth. It's called empirical. It doesn't mean, doesn't depend on what you think about it or feel about it. You can go up here and say, I don't believe in gravity, and run up on top of the building and jump off. I don't feel like gravity is real. Well, go on and jump off that building then. No, don't do it. Don't do that. I'm just saying. But if you did, you'd be hurt or dead. Because objective truth said gravity is real. So listen, natural science is not to be trifled with. Now, there are all kinds of little sciences, you know, in and around that, but natural science, real science, you know, it's God put all that in place. Amen. He set that all up. And so if you don't understand it, just say, I don't understand. Right. Don't put your mind on it. Right. You're, you know, don't be subjective. Don't have a feeling about something that's objectively true. Amen. All right, that's the point. Let me go on now. Now, today, let me get into this. We're going to talk about the pull of value and priority. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus said, Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't worry. Because the tendency is our nature is like this. What about me? 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 I mean, a person going through the biggest crisis of their lives, you're talking about, what about me? What about me? So that's human nature. And so Jesus said, the Father knows you have need. So what you need to do is put your focus on him. He said, seek first his kingdom and what else? Righteousness, his way of living and his character, and things will be added. Now we're going to start there because I want to encourage us that there is always a big picture that we need to pay attention to. Say big picture. No, there are small things in front of us, issues to grapple with around us, which are important. But then you also must be aware that there are larger issues than the smaller things you're looking at right now. You want to look at both. Don't get caught up just in the small things. I heard a story, listen to John Maxwell yesterday, reading his book, one of his books, just kind of preparing for today. He told a story of how there was an airplane crash years ago in Florida, and the issue was the airplane, they put the landing gear down and they could not determine if it was down because it has a light that says when it locks in place, a green light comes on, three of them for each landing gear. And so they could determine, is the gear actually down or is the light out? Which happens sometimes. Now in his telling of the story, I'm sure he cut it real short, but what happened was they had to circle until they could determine if the landing gear was down. You know, they were just troubleshooting, trying to find out, is it the light? And so long and short of it was, they were focused on trying to see if the light was bad or not until the plane circled and hit the ground. Because somebody forgot to pay attention to the big picture is, keep flying the airplane. Now, it seems unbelievable it happened. I don't know what company it was, but apparently that's what happened. They were so focused on trying to see if the light is on, if it's a malfunction with the signal about the landing gear, that they stopped flying the airplane. That's a worst case example of losing sight of the bigger picture. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we look at a little small stuff, or the devil's got you looking at small stuff. Come on, the devil and silly people got you looking at little bitty stuff, and you're missing the big picture. All right, let me go on. So Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry. Seek. Say, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Seek. So then I want to encourage us today that a big part of what helps us determine if we're seeking God, if we have the big picture, is something called value and priority. Next scripture, Matthew 13. So here's a parable that talks about both value and priority. Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the land." Verse 45. Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a dealer in search of fine and precious pearls, who, on finding a single pearl of great price or great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." He bought that pearl. So again, this is an interesting story. It doesn't make sense at first, but in context, you're going to get this today. Jesus spoke this. He spoke all parables using examples in real life to connect people to truth. And also, Jesus told parables because he wanted to help people who had inquiring minds. You know, he would speak a parable and just stop preaching. And I'm done. That's it. That's the whole sermon. And folk would walk away. But some would say, "Hey, Jesus, what did you mean by that?" See, that's why. So he wasn't. Even Isaiah said back in the Old Testament that God, well, this is going to sound weird to you. Hear me. God is not trying to get the attention of people who don't care to hear what he has to say. God is not trying to make people pay attention who don't want to pay attention. Amen. He just says stuff, they just miss it. He'll put it in a form where you have to engage your heart and mind to understand it. Because God won't just grab you by the collar and slap you and say, "Listen to this." He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that, you know. And you shouldn't either, by the way. Come on. Sometimes we got, you know, we have employees under us. People got to slap them around, make them listen. You know what I'm saying? But you got to keep slapping them to make them keep listening. What you want to do is identify people who have a heart to hear. That's what God does. Now, so then he said the kingdom of God is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found. What is this about? But God's kingdom is something so precious, say precious, that when somebody found this and it was so excited that he sold his house, his cars, his camels, whatever he had, and he bought the whole field. Why did he do that? Well, because he saw there's value in this field. His value, his sense of the value of it changed when he found what was in that field. Now, in some readings, in some translations, it introduces the word stumbled. So it's almost like the man stumbled on this. He somehow found it, whether he had a dig, well, he dug for it, or whether it was out in the open. However it was, he just happened to find it. He was there at the right place at the right time. Say the right place, at the right time. But it wasn't luck. We'll define that. It wasn't luck, okay? I don't believe in luck. I know things happen, kind of fall out certain ways, but I believe God is bigger than just chance. Amen. I know chance has a role in life, but when you're in God, he even helps with those, he helps all those factors. Yeah. Now, so I think y'all understand this. For example, you know, when you're in school, when you're in school or still in school, and you've got a textbook, you have an instructor, professor, you got lab experiments, all these things designed help you learn the subject. How many of you know that in the course of a semester, you don't get everything from the lecture or from the reading of the text, right? What actually happens, this is what learning is designed to do, in the course of you being in that subject, around that subject, meditating on that subject, talking to people, asking questions, running things over in your mind, you literally stumble on things. You figure things out. See, I figure things out. Now, notice that people who don't regularly study and read and come to class every time, they don't stumble on things. Look like it's harder for people who don't pay attention. And so, listen now, I've been a college professor, adjunct for 4 years, and I know how this works. And it's beautiful when you see it work, that you don't give students everything. You give them the basic tools they need. You give them the foundations, you give them the subject. But see if they are willing to go and then search and research and then see how this connects to the other and then build their reasoning on their own inquiry. So really good students do that. So my point is, it's just like this, that if you're in the kingdom of God, if you're a kingdom person, if you're a Christ follower, to get the most out of life, to get the most out of what God has to offer to you, what you're going to do is meditate in the things of God. If you are in the field, in life, and you're prayerful and you're reading and you're thinking, you're looking at how God can use things to teach you in different parables in your own life day to day, it's amazing the things you stumble upon. Or we say discover. Say discover. Discover. We go to the next slide here. Let's define the word value right here. So the man found something valuable in the field. He thought, you know what? My goodness, if I found this, how much more of it must be over here? So his value changed. Value defined. The worth, importance, or usefulness of something. The verb is defined as to rate something according to perceived worth, importance, or usefulness, right? So we say values, that's a noun, or you can value something, that's a verb. But value speaks to the worth, importance, usefulness of something, priority. Priority defined is the state of having most importance or urgency. Somebody or something that is ranked highly in terms of importance or urgency. The state of having preceded something else. So I think we understand this, that we say the value is the importance we place on something or somebody. But then there is priority, and that is how we rank. Now listen, a lot of things are important to us. People are important to us. They have value. But then you have to prioritize, even among people in your life, you have to prioritize who you can help or who you're responsible to first in terms of, you know, of course, my wife and spouse and children, obviously. So we understand that. And yet in life, it seems like I think we know what we value and prioritize. But then I believe it breaks down in how we actually walk out these things. So we're clarifying that today. Again, navigation requires that we understand what we value and prioritize. Let's go on. Question, what do you treasure or value? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now that's a powerful statement of value. Don't get more powerful than that. To know what a person values, where their heart is, find out what their treasure is, what they treasure, what thing, what is it that they just treasure, can't live without, gotta have, got to do. That's treasure. So what is your treasure? What do you treasure over other things? So I can say write it down. You write down prayer, worship, reading the Bible, you know, reaching out to the lost. You write that down. But let's look at the tape of your life, or my life. It looked like what I really treasure is watching TV, eating, shopping, talking about people, I mean, et cetera. I mean, we have this lofty notion of what we say we treasure. Praise the Lord. But then, well, how we really live, shows us other things. It's not wrong to watch TV. It's not wrong to, you know, eat, shop. I'm just saying, we say we love, but he said, like John said, don't love in words, but in deeds and truth. So we can't say we love somebody and yet not demonstrate it, not actually walk it out. And so we have this thing in our human nature where, again, we lift our intentions up way high, but we should look also at our actions so that we can live in alignment with what we believe. I'm going to show you a little video. And I found this video when I was really looking for illustration of value, the word value. And I wasn't thinking about the word values. Now, values is something else I want to talk about now. I wasn't thinking about, like, people have values. I wasn't thinking about that. But then I said, well, I should think about that because it goes into what we're discussing today. So watch this little video. It's a simple video, but I believe it tells a good story. So check this out.
Society tells us the way to be happy is to achieve our goals. Get that great job, earn that money, get a good body, find a partner, have happy, healthy kids, have a big house, have a nice car, have holidays. Goal, 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 goal. And it's true that if you do actually manage to achieve these goals, then there is a little moment of joy and happiness. But how long does it last? How long before you're looking at the next goal, and then the next goal, and then the next goal? And as we live our life trying to constantly strive to achieve these goals, one after the other after the other, how tiring and exhausting does it get? Is this you? There is a radically different way to live your life, which is a life based on values, a values-focused life. It's like two kids in the back of a car, and it's a 3-hour car journey to Disneyland. And the first kid is totally goal-focused. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? How much longer? Are we there yet? This journey of frustration, it's all about the goal. The second kid is values-focused. He's got the same goal. He wants to get to Disneyland. But he's also in touch with his values around curiosity, adventure, having fun. So he's looking out of the window, playing I Spy with My Little Eye. He's counting all the, you know, the interesting farmhouses that he sees on the way. He's spotting interesting farm animals, cows and sheep. He's noticing different types of trucks and cars on the freeway. So he's actually appreciating the journey as he heads towards his goal. Now, they both reach Disneyland at the same time. They both have a fantastic time at Disneyland because they both got to achieve the goal. But the first kid had a journey of frustration. The second kid had a fulfilling, rewarding journey. Then on the way home, the first kid, are we home yet? Are we home yet? Are we home yet? All about the goal, all that frustration. Second kid's looking out of the window, noticing how the world looks different at night, spotting the lights in the farmhouses and the cat's eyes on the freeway. The car breaks down on the way to Disneyland. Now, both kids are really disappointed because neither of them achieved their goal. But the second kid at least had a fulfilling journey up until that point. Now, when the pickup truck arrives to tow them home, the first kid, oh, it's not fair. I want to go to Disneyland. How long before the car gets repaired? It's not fair. It's not fair. The second kid starts to notice how the world looks different when you're sitting in the front of a pickup truck high above the level of the rest of the traffic. So this is the very important distinction between the values-focused life and the goal-focused life. In the values-focused life, we have the fulfillment and satisfaction of living our values every step of the way towards our goals, the satisfaction of achieving our goals, and the fulfillment that comes of living our values even when we don't achieve our goals.
You know, people have their goals and things they want. And believers, you know, we have our specific things we want. We believe in God for this and all that. But we forget to live. And we all know that we come short of things. Things don't work out as we hoped. Things sometimes go the other way. And so that's why we need to be based, have value that's based in the kingdom of God, that's based in God, that's based in peace and joy in the heart, so that when things don't go the way we want, we don't just fall apart. Amen? We get the story. Now, next point here is value determines priority. Say that. Say value determines priority. What we call values drives our attitudes and actions. You know, think about this. We have been around a lot of folk, and we have been a certain way in our own lives. And boy, if you're around somebody, or if you are somebody that just want what they want, it's all they care about, or you care about, man, it's miserable to be around people like that, because they're going to use everything to get what they want, including you. You know what I'm saying? You jump in the car with them, you're going to be all hemmed up with what they want, what they want to do. You know how they feel about things, what their perspective on stuff is, how they want to talk. And so, you know, now, are you that person sometime? Ain't no room to breathe, you know what I'm saying, around you. So the fact is, so values drive everything. And I believe that mostly among people, we should value serving people. Just serving them, listening, being listened. Now, again, because you can't always be a listener and a servant, you have to sometimes not be with people. Right? It's called solitude. Because when you're with people, you need to serve people, if that's your value. It's something called compassion fatigue. Now, this is something that people who serve people are well aware of. It is well known. It is a situation where you're having to do so much care for people, or so much concern and so much service, is you literally become fatigued by it. Called compassion fatigue. It wears you down. I mean, you're still doing the right thing, but it wears you down. So be aware of these things and understand that Jesus pulled his own disciples off the mission field, took them aside to rest. Remember that? He said they were so busy, had no time to eat. He took them aside and they rested a while. So let Jesus help you get aside sometime, because when I'm with people, I'm serving. I'm not trying to, you know, have my way. Now, of course, if it's a project I'm leading, I want to lead the project the way it should go. But the point is, your values determine your priority. That's all I'm saying. What you do first, second, third, fourth depends on what your values are. So we all have values, but our values need to be shaped by Christ and God's kingdom. So I'm talking to believers in Christ now. Seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, all these things are added. It's amazing how much you can do in life and still have values that are Christ-centered. I've been a pastor almost 40 years and been married 42 years. And we've had a ball. We had a great time, great life, a lot of fun. I mean, we've had everything people want without making that the aim, without making that the focus. You know what I'm saying? Having good stuff has never been the focus. I mean, having stuff is never the focus. But yet, we wind up with stuff. Amen. And good stuff. Because when it's time to have something, you know what you ought to get. So let me not make you think that being a believer in Christ follower is some laborious and dull. And no. We're having a good time. We're having so much fun, we can't tell you. It'd make people mad. They'd be mad. You shouldn't have that much fun. So I just don't say, I just don't talk about all the fun you have, because they just can't handle it. They think you shouldn't be having no fun, you know? Let me go on. So again, value answers the question, what is important? Priority deals with then, among all the important things and people, what is first, second, third, etc. All right, again, what Jesus said, he said in Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So he's telling you what the priority needs to be. He's giving you both value and priority. He says, seek first the kingdom and righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Now, listen, things are not just stuff to possess. I mean, it is. He did talk about clothes, you know, and food. But things is not only a car and home and a job and things like that. things, the most important things are peace of mind. Peace in your heart. Loving God, loving people. I mean, love with indeed and truth, right? These are also things. So then when we are focused and when our values placed in God's kingdom in Christ, then we are pulled in that direction. So I use the word pull because it's the best word I could think of. We don't even decide to do some things. Sometimes, you know, we think we're deciding stuff, not really. We're really being pulled that way. Now, we should decide. We should make decisions, be conscious and proactive. But sometimes we're just, our values just pull us this way, that way. That's why we need to have value shaped by the kingdom so that the motivations we have, what pulls us, are the things that belong to God, the good, the godly things. Amen? Amen. Please hear that. Because it's amazing the trouble I got into, you know, before I was in Christ, just being pulled one way or another. And not wanting to do something. And just saying, my friends, I don't want to do that. It's, oh, man, come on, man. All right, let's go. That's pretty simple. But, you know, that's how I valued my friends. They were, so where they go, I got to go. So saying no to friends wasn't in my value system, even though to my crazy friends. Because I was actually crazy, too. So it wasn't like they pulled me into something. I didn't want to go in the first place. Because we were all crazy. Funny how we think we're better than people. We're the same as people. We people. Move right. You're not some higher class person. You're a person. We all have similar passions and things. So, but thank God. See, what makes us better is Jesus, first of all, in the heart. But then, because we're in the kingdom, our value is about kingdom. And so, everything goes to that filter. Is this related to purpose and kingdom? Is it good? Is it right? Do I need it? Is it for me? You know what I'm saying? And so, then, now the point where you can tell anybody no. Because I mean, anybody, even your own spouse. You know, my wife and I, we talk about a lot of things, and we train each other to be truthful. Like, so don't say you want to do something if you don't want to do it. We're going there tonight, or anywhere. You don't really mean that. You know what I'm saying? Can I go up over here? Like, you ain't happy now. Well, why are we here? You say anywhere? So we long ago figured out, you know, tell the truth. I don't want to go there. Right. I don't want to do that. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah, it, it sounds weird, but actually it's wonderful to be free with somebody, to them tell you, I don't want to do that, and you're comfortable with that. Okay. Yeah. We do something else. Right. It's not even a problem. Amen. Amen. If you're married to a person like that, okay, if. That's your situation. You know what I'm saying? Oh. All right. Test. Let's do a test. Testing what we value and prioritize. Do a little self-check. Let's test. Okay. First one is, we follow what we value and do first what is our highest priority. Now, it's an obvious statement, but I need us to really think on that, because what we value isn't always these lofty, noble things. Sometimes it's a little lesser stuff we value and make priority. Okay. Number two, we go in the direction of what we value and we start the journey based on priority. You know, obvious statements, but number three, we make our choices based on the value we place on things and people. Now, this is a pretty big one, because if, you know, there are just things that you may not value, and people try to put your mind on something that you don't value. Now, this is where, you know, you deal with servanthood and friendship and things like that. You may go along anyway with something. It's not your preference. That's what friends do. But also, I believe that you can't live your life in a way where you are not that you're making choices on things you don't really value. Examples come to mind. Again, examples are hard because we're all wired differently. For example, my wife and I, on a recent vacation, now y'all know I'm a photographer and I like to take pictures and stuff and watch sunrise, sunset. I tried dragging my wife out to watch the sunrise, you know. And no, it's all right. You go on out there and you come on back, tell me how it was, you know. Bring the pictures, which is fine. She's up in the morning every day getting ready for work. So her value is on vacation is the rest, sleep in. I get that. And so it's no problem. But funny thing happened, we had in a hotel, a Marriott, and a fire alarm. I mean, a fire alarm went off. I mean, a fire alarm for the whole building went off. That was the first time it ever happened with us present during a stay. It was, what time was it? 4:34 in the morning, something. I say 5 a.m. And boy, so then the announcement came, we got to go to the exit. Well, see, now when we stay anywhere, our preference is the top floor. I want the top floor. I don't want nobody above me, you know, bumping around and stuff, making noises. So we had to go all, had to contemplate taking those stairs down there, you know. So I'm thinking, well, this might be a false alarm. Let's hold on. Let's hold up here for a minute. You know what I'm saying? I mean, walking downstairs is easier than going up. How many flights? 6 flights. But going down is some work, too. You got to stop. Especially it's early in the morning. You got to get dressed. I ain't desperate, you know. I mean, if it's a real fire, God save me. I'm putting something on, you know what I'm saying? So we make our way out, and actually, we took the elevator. It opened up. It worked. I used it. I figured if it was bad, they would shut them off. Anyway, so we got down to the bottom, and we're heading out. And a lot of people are out there, not everybody, a lot of us out there, and long and short of it was a false alarm. Mm-hmm. It was a false alarm. But the thing was, it was almost time for sunrise. Oh. I said, come on, Beth, let's watch the sunrise. But she had a hair thing on, see, my wife's old school. Now, these new school women, they go out looking any kind of way. They go out with stuff in their head, house shoes on, you know what I'm saying? But old school women like my wife, she gonna look fine before she go out that front door. But when it's a fire alarm, you come out as you are. And so she said a thing on there, and so I persuaded her to stay out there and watch the sunrise with me. So point is, I'm an artist. I realized something that I was an artist before I was married, before I was called to preach. Before everything, from 5 years old, I was an artist from 5 years old. I've always been an artist. I always value seeing nature, drawing it, getting a picture of it. That will never change. And why should it change? So we have values, and some of these values are really deep-seated in us. And you have to respect other people and not force people around your values. But folks who love you will appreciate your values. We make our choices based on the value we place on things and people. Next point. We rank things and people according to our priority. You know, one of the hard lessons in life, I'm going to just finish up here, is to find out that some people don't value you and you're not a priority. But it's real. Deal with it. You can't make people value you. You can't make people put priority on you. And you know how it is in life. If ever you got a problem with folk over here, there's folk over there. But yet when you're called upon, you still need to serve. Be of service. Listen, your value for others doesn't change if they don't value you. It's not like eye for eye, and now we all blind. But it does hurt to find out that you are not a priority. What you do, what you say, your very presence, you are not important. I mean, you're not hated, but you're just not important. I want to encourage us, going back here to the top again, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to finish this up on next week, Lord willing, because I want to talk to you about priority next week. and almost do a kind of a workshop thing. I want to give a handout. I want to help us really be clear about values and priorities without which we cannot navigate. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for helping us today, helping us to think, helping us, Lord, to consider where we are. And Lord, help us to stay out of frustration, Lord God, and stay in peace. And Lord, and realize that, Lord, we are...